listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great day. Hope yesterday was fine too, and tomorrow even better. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you'll do it anyways. I know it. We all know it, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives, which are timeforanawakening.com. And once you go on the homepage, other programmings, and click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and you can follow that. And for previously recorded programs, those previously recorded programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. We appreciate you. Other program we have on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Mondays and Wednesdays, so that's today, is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. The Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 on Mondays and Wednesdays. Other programming on Monday evening, and all times I'm giving are Eastern times, so adjust accordingly. Thank you. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Acres of Diamonds. After Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. After Let's Buy Black 365 is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers, Tuesday evening from 8 to 10. Wednesdays from 8 to 10 as well, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, tonight from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, Thursday evening, 7 p.m., Relationships with Joy and Troy. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Friday from 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Saturday Sports Talk. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, not me. Sister POC, Revive, Proof of Consciousness, her program Revive, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, the Warren Ballantyne Show is right here on Time for an Awakening Media, the Warren Ballantyne Show. Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from We Buy Black. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. And if you can't, or if you are in the Atlanta area, check out the kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here in the Atlanta area. Okay? Because they have the products that you need. We Buy Black. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayembe. Africa for the Africans. .org. Brother Bomani's taking a group of our people once again to the motherland. He's going November 22nd to December 2nd, going to South Africa, Johannesburg, and Cape Town. And then towards the end of the month of December, to December 24th through January 4th, he's going back to Ghana. And so you can go online to check out the cost of those trips, and hopefully you can save up some money really quick because it's still early. It's only August. Still got 4 months, 3.5, and you can be on a trip of a lifetime to the motherland. The Shrine of the Black Madonna is where we're going to have the Marcus Garvey celebration this Saturday at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in the West End. Number to call is 404-549-8676. The hours of the shrine are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and then Sunday from 1 to 3. And the shrine has what you need. They have furniture. They have paintings. They have artwork. They have figurines. They have clothing. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have Kwanzaa kits. And they have books. It is a bookstore. So, Cultural Center and Bookstore. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. And on Saturdays, they have the class, history class, Know Thyself, with Brother Baba Olatunji. And that is, and it's free and open to the public. And it's from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. every Saturday. But if you cannot make it for whatever reason, but you like that information, you can go to the shrine and get the Multimedia Library. It is a digital resource of over 100,000 files on American African and African culture and history. It is the most extensive cultural library of its kind. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books, and brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. And you can get that at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is located right next to We Buy Black's kiosk. The Medu Bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. If there's a book you're looking for, they may have it. If they don't, they'll get it. Believe me. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, who's the proprietor. The number to call there is 404-519-8107. They have books. If they don't have the book that you are requesting, they'll get it for you. They also have the red, black, and green shoes, the NASGAS shoes. They also have those. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, that I always will promote and ask that you become a member of. It's a cooperative. In the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, pulling our money together, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk, and the number to call to be a part of that broadcast, just to listen if you will, is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. We pulled our money together. And we created Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road here in Atlanta. We have coffee at the cafe, Ethiopian, where coffee was originated, Cameroon, which is my favorite, Tanzania, Kenyan, and an assortment of other African and outside of African coffees and loose teas. I mean, everything that we have at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Us Lifting Us. It's a beautiful environment. If you're in the Atlanta area, check it out.
2036 Sylvan Road. Become a member of Cafe Ulu. Become a member of Ulu in support of Cafe Ulu. One of our vendors is Brother Novak Young and his delicious vitality drink, Ambrosia. Delicious vitality drink. It is made with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, as well as cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Spirulina. Delicious vitality drinks. Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute, asking you to support the Akabin Institute. Brother Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Ya Baruti, have been working with our children for a long time now, training them, teaching them to be independent, to be self-determining, to be liberated, to be sovereign, to be warriors for our people. They need to be supported. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you'd like to go through PayPal or Cash App, if that's your preference, go to PayPal and $Yah, Y-A-A-M-B-A-R-U-T-I, Baruti. Yah, Y-A-A-M, letter M, then B-A-R-U-T-I. Sister Gabby, my good friend Sister Gabby in Haiti, and her project, sanjay-haiti.org. Go online to sanjay-haiti.org, sonjay-aiti.org, and look at the beautiful work this sister and other brothers and sisters in the northeastern portion, in the rural area of Haiti, are doing for the children and for the people. They need to be supported. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund, Brother Scotty Reed, go online to blacktalkradio.com. Excuse me, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Blacktalkradionetwork.com. Even when you jump on the front, on the home page, you can see when you scroll down on the right, the donation button there. Click on it. Give something to Black Talk Radio Network, because this is the number one Black Talk Radio podcast in this country. Probably in the world. BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. August 17th, this Saturday, as I said, we got the Shrine of the Black Madonna. We'll have Kwanzaa in Milwaukee. Africans on the Move have been doing it 30 years. They'll have their celebration of the birthday of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey at the African American Women's Center. Sister Josephine Hill, love her, respect her. They'll have it right there on 30th and Valete Street. And also, too, in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, August 17th, my good brother, Brother Jabari Jamani, will have the Black Caravan, the Black Consciousness Caravan. The Black Consciousness Caravan, and that'll be this Saturday. If you want to know more about it, if you're in the Los Angeles area, if you have friends and you can inform them, the number to call is 323-292-5550. 292-5550. All right. We got through that, didn't we? Oh, man, Brother Oshie. I'm feeling pretty good today. I hope we have a good program. Hope you guys call in and give us your African perspective. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to read yesterday's and today's, as I most often do. August 13th. So we stand here on the edge of hell and look out on the world and wonder, what are we going to do in the face of what we remember? Kwesi Dushu. There are a number of us who have broken from weakening Eurocentric models of socialization. We have broken from these weakening and from weakening these. There are a number of us who have broken from weakening Eurocentric models of socialization in this completely African, anti-African cultural context in society. There are those of us whose intent is fully African. We have gone beyond remission to being healed beyond the likelihood of returning to insanity. Ours is an active understanding that Europeans and anyone who else who acts against us are our enemies. It has become impossible for us to recognize ourselves as anything other than the workers of our people and fulfillers of our ancestors' vision of African redemption. Our personal sense of being African, which molds and is molded by our physical and cultural environments, and that untouchable, inborn spiritual, cultural Acelia essence, which urges us toward and shows us how to be African selves, are in absolute harmony. Just as Eurocentric thought and behavior can unwillingly become our generalized norm, so too can African-centered thought and behavior forcibly and consciously adapt it in an effort to rout out alien practices and thinking become our whole way. For us, being African has become real in its spiritual, mental, and physical consequences. And to be African is to be wholly divest ourselves of every worthless European quality. To be African is to wholly divest ourselves of every worthless European quality. We have moved beyond the pale of cultural misalignment. We have kept all of our appointments, attended all of our sessions, and faithfully followed the selfless advice of our ancestral healers. Affirm, I have rejected the European way and all of its worthless qualities. Affirm, I have rejected the European way and all of its worthless qualities. August 14th. Black Power, Mukasa. My brother Mukasa. The person who struggles to attain goals is stronger than the person who achieves them without self-exertion. Europeans understand this, and they know that true equality and opportunity can never be allowed in a Caucasian supremacist or Caucasian extremist society. Why? Because we have historically struggled much more than they in every facet of life, and they would lose hands down in an open, fair competition. There is a reason why that at the same time we tell our children that race no longer matters, we still tell them that they have to be twice or three times as good as their European peers in order to beat them. Why we tell them that they are the best yet, we train them to work for others. And why we tell them that can't die before you born, yet we tell them that a powerful global African nation is an impossibility. Europeans are quite aware of the lessons we instill in our children. They know that if you spend a season training two children with the same ability for an athletic competition and you make one wear heavy leg weights and arm weights, but both do exactly the same strenuous exercise every day, the shackled one will win once the weights are removed. This is why they are pushing us to spoil our children. It weakens them. It leaves them vulnerable in a world where their parents exercise little social control and therefore are in no position to save them from the agents of the state and wait for them to act out this impetuous, foolhardy, and arrogant insolence that they learn in imitating spoiled, privileged European children. Affirm, I struggle to empower blackness. Affirm, I struggle to empower blackness, or as I say, Africanness. Africanness. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Real powerful today. Real powerful. And that's where I am. The first one I read. I'm brothers and sisters, honestly, my timetable for getting out of this madness is, I'm saying 2 to 3 years. I could leave tomorrow. I would leave tomorrow. This weekend is a celebration of probably the most important leader of the last century, and his impact felt from this century to many centuries to come. The impact would truly be made if we did what we did back at the beginning of the last century, and that was join him, become a member of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and the African Communities League. Join him, become a member, and get others to join. When he called that meeting in 1921 in New York, Madison Square Garden, it's hard to believe that 20,000 people, 20,000. The UNIA had a membership over 3 million. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Facebook, MySpace, Yo Face. They didn't have none of that. They hardly even had telephone. Telephone was invented, but they hardly had. No, how many, you wonder how many people had a telephone at the turn of the century? A lot of people still didn't have telephone when I was coming up in the 50s. But yet, the newspaper, which was the Negro World, which of course we printed now as the African World, the fourth edition will be coming out next year when they have a Bacchus and Tsum-Tsum, printed by our good brothers and sisters who print the Arrow down in San Antonio, Texas. But that newspaper was key, was the catalyst. And even though a lot of our people could not read, but for those who did, read to others. And it was tenuous to carry it with you because you could be arrested if you were caught in the possession of the Negro World. Our people did some tremendous things. And yet today, we have all the ability to do what they did and beyond. We just don't have the mind to do it. We just don't have the right mind to do it. I will continue to do as I do, say as I say, and be that example. My mind has been made up for a while. I'm recognizing that the Caucasian will never, ever, I repeat, the Caucasian will never, ever do what is right. It is not in them to do so. It is not a part of their evolutionary development. They're selfish. They're greedy. They're mean-spirited and hateful. No, yes, right, Brother Oshia. I'm not talking about all the Caucasian, but I'm talking about the Caucasian collective. So I ain't picking out individual Caucasians or somebody that you know or somebody that you married to or some relative that you have and somebody that you know is cool and he may, the Caucasian maybe even wear locks and do things within the American African community or doing things for African people. I don't know and I don't give a damn. I'm talking about Caucasians collectively. I'm talking about the people who identify with white. They created that idea of whiteness. But we must honor Marcus Mosiah Garvey for all that he has done, the example that he was. Feel bad to some degree for the Negroes who fell victim to the pressure of Europeans, some wittingly, some covertly, planted in their minds because they've been here and they constantly believe that somehow our presence here will make Caucasians understand that what they did to us is wrong, and they'll somehow have an epiphany, and realize that what has happened to African people and they apologize and make restitution and develop a fair and equitable society. Stop it. It will never happen. It hasn't happened. It ain't happening, and it ain't gonna happen. That's why Brother Franklin be going off. He might go off again today. I don't know. Well, if he broadcasts, he probably will, because he gets very frustrated with us because we don't open our minds and our hearts to understand what has happened to us. And why we continue to go down this road and continue to believe. I think one of the things that really hinders us, is perpetuation of the idea in this society of individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. If we would reject all of that, reject it, and develop an African mind, an African way, an African understanding, and say, because we are, therefore I am, and therefore I am because we are. The Mbeki phrase, not, I think, therefore I am, you know. To hell with you and yours. I'm only thinking about me and mine. The African way. Ubuntu. Together. Harambe. Pulling together. The underlining theme of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa means first fruits, but the underlying themes of Kwanzaa is umoja. Umoja means unity. The bottom line. Not a functional unity, not unity in conformity, but unity has a function for us to move us forward together. The greatest threat to this world, to the Chinese, to the Indians, the Koreans, the Asians, the whoever else, the Caucasian, European, is African unity. African unity. Still today, many of us are so ashamed and so embarrassed about our condition and looking at Africa and looking at African people and looking at our captivity. Ashamed, and we just wish we were Caucasians. I hate what they have done to us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on them and what they continue to do to us. Because if you're bombarded 24/7, 365, it's very hard for you to look outside of that. But we must. We must break the chains that the Caucasian has on our minds. We must release that vice grip that the Caucasian has put on our minds and embrace. This weekend, I hope that you get a chance to go to some Garvey celebrations, wherever that might be in your locale. If there isn't one, start one. Get together with people. Go to somebody's home. Go to develop a cookout, something celebratory. And one thing that you must get in doing this, get the red, black, and the green. Get the flag. Find the flag anywhere in your city. Get that flag and fly it, and fly it high. The history of the flag is deep. Here's an article that appeared a couple years ago. It was Flag Day. On Flag Day, remembering the red, black, and green. It's written by a sister named Leah Donnella. Leah Donnella. It's Flag Day. On this week's podcast, we explore the ways that communities of color in the United States relate to the Stars and Stripes. And we thought it's worth a few moments to celebrate a flag created nearly a century ago for American Africans. The Pan-African flag, also called the Marcus Garvey UNIA, American Africans, or Black Liberation Flag, was designed to present people of the African diaspora and, as one scholar put it, to symbolize Black freedom, simple. The banner, with its horizontal red, black, and green stripes, was adopted by the Universal Negro Improvement Association at a conference in New York City in 1920.
For several years leading up to that point, Marcus Garvey, the UNITE leader, talked about the need for a black liberation flag. Robert Hill, a historian and Marcus Garvey scholar, says that Garvey thought of a flag as a necessary symbol of political maturity. The fact that American Africans did not have a flag was considered by Garvey, and he said this, it was a mark of political impotency of our people. Hill explained, and so acquiring a flag would be proof that the Africans had politically come of age. At that point, the goal of Garvey's movement was to establish a political home for American African people in Africa. Hill says that Garvey patterned his thinking. Excuse me, let me read that again. At that time, the goal of Garvey's movement was to establish a political home for African diasporans on the continent of Africa. Hill says that Garvey patterned his thinking on other nationalist movements at the time. The Zionist movement, the European Jews, the aftermath of the Russian Revolution, the fight against imperialism in China. And it was the Irish struggle for independence that Hill says unofficially gave Garvey a lot of the political vocabulary of this movement. The Pan-African flag colors each had symbolic meaning. Red stood for the blood, both the blood shed by Africans who died in their fight for liberation and the shared blood of African people. Black represented, well, us as the people, African people, wherever we are. And green was a symbol of growth and the natural fertility of Africa. Garvey and the UNIA framed the need for a flag in a political context, Hill explains. Everybody immediately seeing that flag would recognize that it is a manifestation of black aspirations, black resistance to oppression. Some earlier years, the Caucasian minstrel singers were expressing the importance of flags as a matter of racial pride. In 1900, Will Heelan and J. Fred Health composed a popular song called "Every Race Has a Flag But the Coon." The refrain was, Bonnie Scotland loves a thistle. Turkey has her crescent moon. And what won't Yankee Doodle for the red, white, and blue? Every race has a flag but the coon. The lyrics suggested that at the time, 4 decades after emancipation, many Caucasian people still didn't consider African people full citizens of the United States or any other country for that matter. The creation of a flag then was a step for African people around the world to claim an identity in their own right. Michael Hanner, a professor of African studies at the University of Pennsylvania, says that the flags are important because they symbolize the union of governance, people, and territory. For African people, the flag means they have some way of identifying themselves in the world and to also project to those people who are not members of this particular national community that they too belong, that they have membership in a world of communities, a world of nations. Robert Hill says the Pan-African flag went on to become the template for flags all over Africa as they gained independence. Ghana, Libya, Malawi, Kenya, and many other African countries adopting the red, black, and green, often with the addition of gold, which sometimes symbolizes mineral wealth. These days, Pan-African flags fly on some American African-owned businesses or in neighborhoods in cities like Philadelphia, here in Atlanta, Chicago, Milwaukee, wherever, where Marcus Garvey had a big historical influence. They also came out when African people needed a symbol of unity that stands outside the notion of Americanism. In 2014, after Michael Brown was shot and killed by police officers, protests welded the Pan-African flag as they marched through the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. Harnett said it makes sense that the flag would be used during a collective crisis.
So obviously, in a moment of clear tragedy and senseless violence, the need for common cause became a battle cry of sorts. Oh, flag of mine. The flag, the red, black, and green, was adopted by Marcus Garvey. And if you know me, or if you truly know me, not just listen, you've seen me, you know that I wear the red, black, and green, and have worn the red, black, and green since 1985. In fact, even back in the 60s, my first wife, and she wasn't my wife then, we were in high school, she made me a red, black, and green dashiki. Yeah. That was that year I first learned about Marcus Garvey and the red, black, and green. There's a pledge, and I know in the National Black United Front, NBUF, my good brother Conrad Worrell, whose column I read all the time, who's been on this program, very good friend, they give the pledge at the NBUF conferences and conventions. We do the pledge. The pledge was written by Garvey's second wife, Amy Jacques Garvey. He had two Garvey. He had Amy Ashworth Garvey and Amy Jacques Garvey. So Amy Jacques Garvey wrote this, the pledge. Regardless of what is told of it, here's to this flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hopes in its future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it. Great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red blood shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it. Great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it. 400 million back of it. Whose destiny depends on it. The red, black, and green of it. Oh, great flag of mine. Here's to the green of it. Young men shall dream of it. Face shots and shells of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it. Colors brought and pole of it. Pleased is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Thanks God for giving it this great flag of mine. Ashe, Ashe, Amy Jacques Garvey, this great flag of mine. You know, I'm going to read a piece when we come back from the break. And the title of the piece is, it's a 3-year-old piece. The Link Between Stockholm Syndrome and American African Leadership, a tribute to the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. You know, we talked about the Stockholm Syndrome a number of times here because we recognize that the Stockholm Syndrome is a situation where a person is captured or kidnapped or taken in, and over a period of time, they begin to identify and have feelings for those who done the wrong to them. Even to the point, in fact, when I first heard about the Stockholm Syndrome, it was many, many years ago in the 70s, when Patty Hearst was kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army. And there was a bank, they were robbing a bank, and there she was with a gun in her hand, you know. She had a gun in her hand. She's robbing the bank with the Symbionese Liberation Army, brothers and sisters, identifying with captors. It is truly, the Stockholm Syndrome is truly what has happened to many of our brothers and sisters. We have suffered from the Stockholm Syndrome for hundreds of years. That's why when we talk about, even though this program will continue to do what it does, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can bank on it. You can depend on it. We're going to talk about independence. We're going to talk about self-determination. We're going to talk about liberation. And we're going to talk about sovereignty for African people. Because we maintain there is no other discussion. There is no other discussion. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Everything else is moot. To talk about the politics that are going on, to talk about Trump, to talk about any other thing, the sports, whatever, sex, whatever. The only discussion that we as African people need to have that has true validity, that has true promise, is the situation that is happening with us globally. Not just what's happened to us here in Atlanta or Milwaukee or Los Angeles, Houston, Dallas, Miami. I can go on. Baltimore, New York, Philly, Detroit, Chicago. No. No. Because what happens to us there happens to us everywhere. So the discussion that we need to have is how do we change these dynamics? And we come to the conclusion the only way to change these dynamics is to change our minds. To think independently. To step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us. Because they're so slick. They believe they've duped people into believing they do have independent thinking. That they come to conclusions of their own. And because you are in a society that perpetuates individualism, you think that I have my own thoughts. I'm an individual. I go along with them. I have my own way of thinking. And yet, of course, that's problematic because of your selfishness. You behave like the European. You think like the European. You want to be like the European. You want what the European has. And I know there are some of us, they ain't going to bleach their skin. They ain't going to process their hair. They ain't going to get weave and so forth. They want to be black. They don't want to be African. They want to be black. Just as the European has put whiteness, has identifier on European people, whiteness, collective whiteness, and to develop an air and attitude of white supremacy, those who understand, they can't be white, but I'm black. So I just want to be black in comparison to white. White has all these things. I want to be black and have all those things. I want the homes, the cars, the clothes, the positions, the car. I'm black. I don't have feeling for other people who are black. And I sure in the hell don't have no damn feeling for Africans. When I said that, I don't know why Money Mayweather came into my mind, because I remember him saying that. He has no allegiance at all to Africa. Don't give a damn about Africa. The same thing that another person want to be black, Steve Harvey. But it's all of these individuals. And so that's why I applaud the work that Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti are doing. But also it has to come to a point that we have to get out of here. We have to say, this is what we're going to do. And then, damn it, do it. It may be just a handful of us. And it may be a lot of our family that don't want to go. They want to hold on to that house that they have now in the suburbs. Want to hold on to that job that they got to pay off for because of student loans. They want to hold off. They don't want to make that move. And I know my family, and I've been saying it, they, you know, obviously, since I haven't done it, I believe that when the real time comes, but hopefully they'll understand. They'll know they'll have to, because I'm going to do it. Ain't no doubt about it. I'm going to do it. Marcus Garvey never set foot on African soil. Never set foot on African soil. He traveled a lot. He traveled throughout the Western Hemisphere, United States, Mexico, Honduras, Costa Rica, Venezuela. He traveled a lot. And then, of course, to England. You know. Yeah, he traveled a lot, but he never made it to the destination that he championed, Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. Sad, but true. So as far as I'm concerned, we as Africans, we must make that move. We must make that move. When they had that meeting of the Universal Negro Improvement Association with 2,000. You can't get 200 at a damn meeting. 20. Yeah, 20,000. 3 million people in membership in the UNIA. And many people were being threatened. And then, of course, the Negroocracy, Du Bois particularly, maybe that's why Du Bois in his later years realized, you know, I think that has to come to a point for many of our people, realizing that there's nothing I can do or say. They are who they are. So he went to Africa. He's buried in Africa at the Du Bois Center. He went there to develop a encyclopedia of Africana encyclopedia. And he died in Ghana. He's buried at the Du Bois Center. I've been there a few times. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more on today and, of course, Friday, talking about the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and his impact and what he really means to us as a people. Stay right here with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com. We'll be right back. Thank you, family.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
sister coming up the walkway dressed down in a braid. Brothers with their afros taking center stage. Watching as this culture slowly comes of age. With a mind of its own, yeah. Mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes. Fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods beating on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love. From the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love. Supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much. When we give what we know. Kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love. So from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. I'm loving my people. Folks gather at the church on a Sunday morn. Openly they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen one? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood. In that place we call home. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. So that I'm loving mine. I love. Soul from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. So that I love my people. I love. The way they let it go on the dance floor.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. That's a great song. Brother Taylor, loving my people. And that's what Marcus Garvey was about. Loving his people. A commitment, a dedication to reclaim, recapture, and restore our humanity and our ability to stand on our feet, to be players in this world instead of the pawns that we have become. Other programs we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following this program on Mondays and Wednesdays is The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9, followed by Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Fridays, Time for an Awakening on Fridays at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister PLC on Sunday. And then Time for an Awakening once again on Sunday, 7 p.m. until. Every Monday through Friday, The Warren Ballantyne Show at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Warren Ballantyne Show on from Mondays through Fridays. The number to call is 215-490-9832. 215 490-9832. Garvey was a dynamic figure. You can go online, go to YouTube, and you can, there's a few pieces on Marcus Garvey. You can actually hear Marcus Garvey. The beauty of YouTube is you can let the ancestors speak. Not only the ancestors, but contemporaries, you know. So really there, you know, there is no excuse outside of the fact that they have captured our minds. That's our excuse. But they have, because we ain't in our right mind. And it's hard for many of us because we are bombarded 24/7, 365. It's very difficult for us. Only a few of us like myself and others who have rejected whatever the European said, did, or whatever, or whatever he came at us at, we rejected. See, let me say this so I can be clear. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. I love humanity. But I realize what Europeans have done. Europeans have created a system. I hate that system. I hate that system with a passion because of what it has done to African people. How it has made us look at ourselves. How it made us hate who we are. Hate our hair, our nose, our skin, our lips. Hate of women, hate our men, hate each other, hate our children. The hate that hate produced. Europeans have hated us, and they produced a hate within us. And that hate is played out every damn day in this society and in this world, with us defaming and degrading one another to the point of killing one another. Nobody kills themselves. Let me repeat. Nobody kills themselves the way we kill each other. And it's not just in America where it is truly documented and it's devastating, but other places as well. Because we are not in our right mind. Because we refuse to deal with it. The link between Stockholm Syndrome and African leadership, a tribute to the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. This article I'm about to read was presented by Sister Valerie Dixon. She is the lady president of the founding chapter of the UNIA ACLU, United Negro Improvement Association, African Communities League, in Kingston, Manchester, Jamaica. She can be reached at valeriedixon1@gmail.com. So the sister wrote this article. The Stockholm Syndrome has been defined by the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition, as a psychological syndrome in which a person being held captive begins to identify with and grow sympathetic to his or her captor, while simultaneously becoming unsympathetic toward the police or other authorities that try to come to her rescue or their rescue. Our first national hero, the Right Excellence Marcus Mosiah Garvey, sacrificed himself trying to uplift and improve the conditions for African people, those at home and those abroad. But I may have to concede that the vast majority of African people have accepted the fact that the culture is indeed inferior and has given up the fight for liberation. You really need to look at that, analyze that. What she's saying is, you know, sometimes there's some tough truths, but I know the only way that will change that is to instill into that mind a knowledge of self. But I may have to concede that the vast majority of African people have accepted the fact that the culture is indeed inferior and have given up the fight for liberation. It appears that this attitude comes from the attitude of African leaders, both in Africa and in the diaspora, for the most part. African leadership seems to be caught up in the throes of mental condition that has been called the Stockholm Syndrome. The term leadership refers mainly to those in politics, the public and private sectors, and those in academia. It seems fair to say that if most African and diasporic leaders are suffering from this psychological syndrome, then it could imply that their followers are also not well mentally, ashe, because we're not. Copious research informs that the European Jews and the Arabs have worked against African people for hundreds of years and are responsible for Africans being in this deep, dark, and unattainable position even up to this, the 21st century. However, truth is truth regardless of where it may originate. In an excerpt from an interview with a European Jewish leader, this was shared by an African, but I can't pronounce his name, so I'm going to do it, on social media. An interviewer asked a European Jewish leader why he thought Africans lagged so far behind the other cultures economically. The European Jew replied that the only aspect of African people, the only life African people understand is how to consume. The European Jew replied that the only aspect of life African people understand is how to consume, or simply stated, how to shop till you drop, and that almost none of the shops are owned by African people. The European Jew went on to say that African people don't understand the importance of building wealth. These two statements are lies based on the achievements of this great African man, this great Jamaican African man, Marcus Mosiah Garvey. His achievements are too numerous to list, but information is available for those who seek it. There are plenty. I would suggest that you If you want to go to the library, cool. If you want to stay at home and you got a computer, which you probably do, Google, Wikipedia, so many sources, plenty. Just put in his name. All kinds of good stuff will come up. So what makes it appear that current African leaders in Africa and the diaspora is caught up in this mental condition? One of the sources cited in a book written by Joseph Carver that has a most interesting title, Love and the Stockholm Syndrome, the mastery or the mystery of loving an abuser. The mystery of loving an abuser. Although said to be rare, basically, it is when people are placed in a situation where all their values, beliefs, and mores change in some way. So small acts of kindness that the captors or oppressors show to their victims, hostages, or others held in bondage prompts a primitive gratitude for the gift. And as a result of this gratitude, the hostage or captor experiences a powerful, primitive, positive feeling toward their captor, owner, oppressor, or even employer. These persons feel privileged to be chosen to receive the acts of kindness and enter into a state of denial and refusal to accept that this is the person who caused them to be in the state of capture or bondage in the first place. The person puts you in the situation, works on your psyche, shows you some what is perceived as attention, which could be perceived as love or whatever, and you take that. And now you have a feeling. You enter into a state. You feel privileged because of these acts of kindness shown to you, and you enter a state of denial, and you accept this, and you accept the person that puts you in this situation. That person could have killed your whole family, and yet over that period of time you are worn down to accept that position. Nachija Kimshi, who was kidnapped at the age of 10 and held in captivity for 10 years, 20 years old, said in 2010 interview with the Guardian newspaper that she rejects the label Stockholm Syndrome, explaining that it doesn't take into account the rational choices people make in particular situations. Her words were, I find it very natural that you would adapt yourself to identify with your kidnapper, especially if you spend a great deal, of time with that person. It's about empathy and communications. She went on to say that looking for normality within the framework of a crime is not a syndrome. It is a survival strategy. In projecting her statement on African people, it seems that she has made a very big point in that the majority of African people during the time of our captivity to our present and still awful condition for millions was never in close contact with their captors or oppressors, and so never developed any love or empathy for the oppressor. However, the few Africans chosen to be among them must have felt as Kimshit did, and that these become known as the House Negroes. Also, they call them tokens. This probably explains why our current Negroes, tokens in leadership positions in politics, the public, the private sector, and academia, and we can add entertainers and sports personalities, definitely, are so scared to identify with anyone such as Garvey, Kwame Nkrumah, or organizations like the Pan-African Movement, the African Union, Marcus Garvey's organization, the UNIA, the Black Panther Party, among other groups. And they also seem to doubly scared. They also seem to be doubly scared of the Nation of Islam. According to revelations contained in the so-called Stockholm Syndrome, the chosen African leaders and tokens appear to be experiencing the primitive gratitude for gift of the good life, and so will be externally, and so will be eternally grateful for their positions, their jobs, opportunity to excel academically and economically, and therefore do not want anyone or anything to upset that apple cart. They are now in a class above all other Negroes or Africans. These Negroes are in a class above all the other Africans and will defend this status, even if it means they have to betray their families, their people, their culture, and who they are, and become spies and secret agents for their captors and benefactors. In the philosophy, in the book, The Philosophy and Opinions of Marcus Garvey, compiled by his second wife, Amy Jacques Garvey, our national hero said that the traitors of the other cultures are generally confined to the mediocre or irresponsible individual. Unfortunately, the traitors among the African people are generally found among the men in the highest place in education and society, and who call themselves leaders. He went on to teach that the entire culture by saying that not until we settle down has 400 million people and let the man who have placed themselves in the lead realize that we are disgusted and dissatisfied and that we shall have a leadership of our own and stick by it. And when we get that leadership, we'll be able to lift ourselves from the mire of degradation to the heights of prosperity, human liberty, and human appreciation. I'll read that again. In the book, The Philosophies and Opinions of Marcus Garvey, compiled by his second wife, Amy Jacques Garvey, our national hero said that the traitors of the other cultures are generally confined to the mediocre or irresponsible individual. Unfortunately, the traitors among us are generally found amongst the men highest in place in education, society, and will call themselves leaders. He went on to teach the entire culture by saying that not until we settle down, and of course that number is huge today with more than 400 million, we're almost a billion people on the planet, and let the men who have place themselves in the lead, realize that we are disgusted and dissatisfied and that we shall have a leadership of our own and we will stick by it. And when we get that leadership, we will be able to lift ourselves up from this mire of degeneration to the heights of prosperity, human liberty, and human appreciation. We want to thank Sister Valerie Dixon of the UNIAACLU in Kingston. She wrote this a few years ago, 2016, August 17th, his birthday on 2016. What do you think, brothers and sisters? Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let me know what you think. The Inye Sesim was deep. I want to read that again as well because, you know, it is where we really are. You know, it is really where we really are. So we stand here on the edge of hell and look out on the world and wonder what we're going to do in the face of what we remember. There are a number of us who have broken from weakening Eurocentric models of socialization in this completely anti-African cultural context and society. That's what Marcus Garvey did. We're still at his time as today. There were a lot of our people wanting so desperately to be tied to the European. But there were some like Marcus Garvey. There were many others who believed in returning to Africa. Paul Coffey, Bishop Henry Turner McNeil, Martin R. Delaney, Edward Wilmot Blyton. There were many brothers and sisters who believed that there's nothing we can do here. We will never be the kind of people that we must and should be. We'll always be beneath the European, because that is the position in the mind of the European that he has set for himself. And it is a collective mindset. Even those, when you may catch them individually, who will not espouse it, but they do. They do. And they're shown in hell won't do anything to destroy it. When I was listening to that piece about racism on the news the other day, and the sister said, I just want y'all to destroy the system y'all created that perpetuates white supremacy. Yeah. Yeah. Don't hold your breath. There are those of us whose intent is fully African. We have gone beyond remission to being healed, beyond the likelihood of returning to insanity. Ours is an active understanding that Europeans and anyone else who acts against us are enemies. Europeans and anyone else who acts against us are enemies. We have enemies all over. Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends. We have no friends. European has taught the world to hate us. Because the European controls narratives. He controls information. He controls imagery. We have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. Not the shape of your nose or your ears or your lips or whatever. No. You like what you see, who you are historically, who you are culturally. You like what you see because when you see yourself, you see your brother, you see your sister, you see your family, you see Africa, you see Africans. Like what you see. It has become impossible for us to recognize ourselves as anything other than the workers of our people and fulfillers of our ancestors' vision of African redemption. Our personal sense of being African, which is molded by our physical and cultural environments, and that untouchable, inborn, spiritual, cultural seedly, the essence of it which urges us toward and shows us how to be Africans, in our African selves, and in absolute harmony. Just as Eurocentric thought and behavior could unwillingly become our generalized norm, so too can African-centered thought and behavior forcefully and consciously adopted in an effort to rout out alien practices and thinking become our whole way. For us, being African has become real in its spiritual, mental, and physical consequences. And to be African is to be wholly divest ourselves of every worthless European quality. We have moved beyond the pale of cultural misalignment. We have kept all of our appointments, attended all of our sessions, and have faithfully followed the selfless advice of our ancestral healers. I reject European way and all of its worthless qualities. I reject it. That's what I rejected. They can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea. And they couldn't tell Marcus Garvey sugar, honey, iced tea. But he was the model. And to me, the leaders of our people of note, those real models, their thing was they didn't believe that somehow, some way that we can, you know, work on the Caucasian's mind and integrate with him and be a part of what he has created for himself. They didn't believe that. They knew that that couldn't happen. And if it did happen, it was just some crumbs to pacify you. And then at the time that you uprised, some more crumbs to further that pacification, chill you out. Now, I watched a piece, you know, as I say all the time, when you look at the European, one thing you begin to look at and recognize in their history, in their evolutionary development, they always found a better way to kill you, to get rid of you, to eliminate you. It is definitely going that way here when you consider the fact that our numbers are not growing. We should not have been, our numbers should not be decreasing. It ain't like we leaving the country in mass. We're coming, still trying to get over here, some of us from various places. So then why are our numbers decreasing? Why? I remember one time they said we were 17% of the population. I heard a high as 20. And yet today we're 12%. The Caucasian, the Latino or Hispanic, than us, than Asian, and then indigenous people. And then indigenous people. The reason why our numbers are dwindling and will continue to do so, and the fact that we don't have a leadership that will call it into question and ask the reasons why, or have a study done that we would do independently. We don't have anything independent. We are solely dependent upon this Caucasian. Anything that we have done. That's why I saw another brother talking about the Republic of New Africa and calling, and the same thing as the Nation of Islam, calling for the states in the South. You know, I look at the history. Look at the history. Anytime that we band together, and we had to band together coming out of captivity, especially at the turn of the last century, to do for ourselves because of serious, overt racism, discrimination, and segregation. Overt. All over. And so when we did that and we were successful, the outlining communities that were Caucasian band together, usually under the disguise of supposedly one of us in that town or city, you know, assaulted a Caucasian woman. That was the justification to vamp on that community. rob it, burn it, either kill us or imprison us or exile us. To today, there is not one independent community, not one, where it's, now we have a few places, but those few places are still, they have to pay taxes if that's the situation, unless they call themselves a religion. They may not have to pay taxes. Not one. All the ones we did have were destroyed. They were destroyed. Watching this piece last night from a 1970 Senate talking to the CIA about covert operations and weaponry. They were talking about a dart gun that they have that is almost silent, that shoots a dart that you initially don't feel, but you become ill and you die. In the 1970s, in fact, many of the senators that I was watching, I identified. One was Barry Goldwater. I think it's from 75, somewhere around there. And the senator who was talking to the CIA, secretary of the CIA at the time, Colbert, I think. I don't know. I don't care. He explained it. But the point being, they have so much today. If they had that then, they have so much more today. Because they never stop. They will never stop finding ways to eliminate people. They will never stop. And even when some of their people are affected by it, they don't care. They don't care. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Talking about the red, black, and green. Old flag of mine. I guess Marcus Garvey heard that song. Nobody has a flag. Everybody got a flag but the coon. Man. And it's interesting that people who come to our people with the knowledge and understanding of what has happened to us, and we reject them because we don't want to leave this Caucasian. We want what he has. We want to live where he lives. Go to school where he goes to school. Work where he works. Get promotions with him. Our weakness. Our mental weakness. It's a lot easier, isn't it? Yeah, that's the argument. It's a lot easier to do that than to be strong enough and independent enough and self-determining enough and liberated enough and to devise the methods for sovereignty. Scary thought for a lot of us. We'd rather continue to do what we've been doing. You know? Got about 20 minutes left. I know I'm seeing pretty solemn. I'm not feeling the, I guess because of the frustration. I can't wait till Saturday, Marcus Garvey Day. I know I'm going to have a good time. see a lot of good people and celebrate the accomplishments and achievements of Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who I consider one of the top leaders of African people the world has seen. Anytime you can amass that many people, if you can get that many people, you can get 3 million people in an organization, you can get 20,000 of them to come to New York City in the old Madison Square Garden to deal with the establishment of the UNIA. Wow. You said we can't even get 20 people. I just talked to our president of the Black Firefighters Association. Saw some pictures. Looked very sparse. You know, it's our annual convention in Las Vegas. You know? And I was like, I know I expect attendance to be pretty decent next year when we go to Hartford, Connecticut, because it's our 50th anniversary. 50th anniversary. Yeah. 1970 into 2020. 50 years. So I know that will be a very, well, who knows? I know I'll be there because of what that organization has meant to me and what it has done for me. I believe in organization. When I look at what the ancient Kemetic people have done, what we have done historically, it was through education, cooperation, organization. Study, communications, cooperation, and organization. Those are the four things that made the ancient Kemetic society great. Though these are the four things that will make us great again. Study. Study our history. Communicate with one another. Not dissing one another. Communicate openly and honestly. Cooperate. Don't undermine. Don't be petty. Don't be ignorant. Cooperate. Study, communications, cooperation. Organize. Organize. And whatever your assignment is, you do it. Whatever the timetable frame you're supposed to do it in, you do it. These are the things that will make us great again. I'm going to wear my hat this Saturday, too. I have a hat, Make Africa Home Again. Sometimes people see it, they'll look at it and they see Make Again. So they don't see the words in between. They think I'm wearing a Make America Great Again. That was really my intent, just to catch them, to look at them, look at it, and make Africa. And of course, a lot of people, I like that. And I said the other day, one brother said, I don't know about that. I was in the bank, and the brother said, I don't know about that. Yeah, I understand. Older gentleman. We have a call, 602. Good afternoon, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brother Oshie. I just want to say, on Sunday, there's going to be a live stream broadcast from Jamaica through the IRIE FM, IRIE FM station. It's a whole day. Marcus Garvey Day celebration starts at, I think, 6 o'clock in the morning. So they have been broadcasting now for a couple of years.
Okay.
Garvey's birthday. So it's going to be on Sunday, the day after Garvey's birthday. So, you know, you can put that on your calendar. I'll call back Friday to put it out there again.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Yeah. Well,
just YouTube it. I refer to my live stream.
How do you get it? Can you get it online?
Yes, you get it online. You go to just YouTube, put in I would type in IRIE FM live stream. know, on YouTube.
Now, how are you? How are you spelling that? Irie FM.
IRIE FM.
FM.
Yeah, and you just live. You just live stream. It's a live stream broadcast, and it's a whole day thing from 6 o'clock till 12 o'clock. Hosted by Muta Baruka. So
it'll be 6 a.m.
Yes, from 6 in the morning until 12 midnight.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay. A whole day thing, and it's always good. They have speakers, they have music, dancing, drumming, you know, and it's always good food.
Beautiful. Right on, Marcus. Thank you so much for that, and I hope that many of our listeners will go on YouTube, put in IRIEFM. Into that,
yes,
and you'll get that live stream broadcast from Jamaica on the celebration of Marcus Garvey.
Garvey Day celebration. Yes.
You know, here's another thing, Marcus. That you know, I have a lot of them, but here's just another thing that I didn't like Barack's ass about. Barack could have pardoned and should have pardoned Marcus Garvey. He should have done it. He should have pardoned Jack Johnson. He should have pardoned. I know he pardoned some drug people who are in some drug offenses, and that's fine. There were some people that the United States, in their evilness, in their viciousness, attacked. And Marcus Garvey was truly one of them. He could have pardoned Marcus Garvey and should have pardoned Marcus Garvey. But see, Barack was not elected. He was selected. He was selected by those still in to give the illusion. So because many of our people, as you remember or know, Marcus, a lot of them were just enamored, just as, oh, we got a black president. And we're saying, don't ask him for nothing. Don't do nothing because, you know, we'll wait till we get another term. He got another term. He still didn't do nothing. My good friend Marcus has hung up on me. But yeah, he didn't do anything. And it doesn't look like I'm broadcasting here again. I don't know. It looks like Uber Conference has knocked me out the box. I don't think I'm broadcasting. Hey man, I'm experiencing. I got knocked off the broadcast.
Well, I'm listening to you, or it must be a delay here.
You are the first participant on this Uber conference.
Okay.
Please hold while we wait for the others to join.
I really don't know what happened, but I guess I'm still broadcasting Something happened here that's unfortunate. Give me a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, to let me know that I'm, or text me, to let me know that I'm still broadcasting. You can hear me. I would appreciate it. I tell you, you know, a lot of times with these computers and streaming and all the other things, it's not exact, of course, and I understand and recognize that. And sometimes, you know, you may have an incident where you feel that, thank you, my brother, appreciate it. Sometimes you may have a fact that you think that you have been interrupted for no reason, because a lot of times, you know, I read on Facebook, people go into Facebook jail or whatever they call it, you know, because they said something or done something, and Facebook monitors stuff, and then they'll knock them out, you know. So, but I don't know, you know. I remember talking about that situation in Dallas when the police were killed. And next thing I know, I was knocked off the air, you know. And if you know me, I believe in conspiracies, you know. I believe in conspiracy theorists. Yeah, believe me, I do. And in some instances, with justification, because there's no bigger one, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, aside from Kennedy being shot by others, and, you know, aside from Lee Harvey Oswald, the moon landing, you know, I remember a few months ago, Pence was representing Trump somewhere, and he said, yes, in 5 years, we're going to go to the moon. In 5 years, you're going to go to the moon. Should you been to the moon? Don't you remember how you got to the moon? And can't you easily go back? You've been there. You know? So, the moon. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I am. Okay. Okay. No.